They say you got a chemical heart. They try to prove it different is the hardest part. They say it's on the tip of your tongue. You've been making up excuses since you were young. I don't wanna be your babysitter.
More of Lake Effect now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. Jesse Malin has been playing music professionally since he was 12 years old. His first band, Heart Attack, was hardcore punk and active in the New York scene in the early 80s. He then became the lead vocalist for D-Generation, a glam punk band. Since the early 2000s, Malin has been a solo act. Throughout his career, he's collaborated with people like Bruce Springsteen, Ryan Adams, and Billy Joe Armstrong. And his newest album, Sunset Kids, was produced by Lucinda Williams. Malin was in Milwaukee last month to perform at Shank Hall. He and his guitarist Garrett Cruz came into the studio to talk with the Lake Effect's Bonnie North and to play some tunes from Sunset Kids. This is Chemical Heart.
They say you got a chemical kiss. You're breaking down the atoms to get your fix. You're looking like a knife in the heart. Wishing that it's different is the hardest part. Singing na na na. Singing na na.
Chemical Heart in Lake Effect's performance studio, Jesse Malin and Derek Cruz. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
God, from the new album, Sunset Kids. And I got to tell you, Jesse, I love it. What a great album.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I know it came out of a lot of hard stuff.
Yeah, it was done during a crazy time. I mean, you know, it was just one of those years where just a whole bunch of people close to me just passed away. Started with, you know, one of our guitar players that had played with us. And actually, the whole first conversation we had with its producer, with Lucinda Williams, was at the last Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers gig. She was opening. And then we talked the next day about making this record, and we made a whole plan. And she was close with Tom, and a few days later, as we know, he passed away. But yeah, I lost my dad, and you know, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, life is for living, and music is to celebrate life. That's the way I see it. But a lot of this record and the title is to celebrate some of those people's lives.
Yeah, and what I love about knowing that is that the album isn't a dirge. It doesn't sound like, oh my God, everything's terrible, and let's go jump off the bridge right now. But all of that, remembering and loving and joy and sorrow, it's all mixed in.
Yeah, well, that's what I think, you know, that's what life is, fortunately and unfortunately. But I think for me as a writer, I always didn't just love stuff that's just blindly happy. I think that, you know, sometimes through a dark tunnel, there's a lot of interesting stuff. And of course, hopefully there's some light at the end.
Well, yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think the dark stuff is sometimes the most interesting because you can't have the light stuff without it.
Yeah.
You know,
the duality, definitely. But kind of wrote, I guess, about 25 songs for this record. So every time Lucinda Williams would go on tour and we have a little break, I'd have a couple more songs. Something else would happen, good, bad, ugly, whatever, and then I'd come back in. And so we kind of was tough narrowing it down to 14. It's like your kids. You love them all equally. And it's like, you know, so having a producer and her husband, Tom Overby, who's her manager, are almost like editors in a sense, as well as inspiring and helping with the process of creativity. I think they also can tell you, all right, stop, that's enough, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about working with her as a producer, because you've known each other a long time just as colleagues. And so what was it like going into the studio with her in that role?
I guess, you know, you think you know somebody, they're your friend. We were friends, like you said, for a bunch of years. We met in the early 2000s in New York at a jazz club. I was a fan first, though. You know, I got that Car Wheels on a Gravel Road record, and I went to a couple of those shows while I was in my old band, and it was very different for me, but it was so amazing. And as a writer, her, you know, eye for detail, and as a singer, such a unique, powerful voice. So I forgot about that for a while, just being a friend. You know, you don't totally forget, but then when suddenly it was time to, like, show her my songs, and I went to her house in California where her and Tom live, and, you know, just brought my notebooks and my acoustic guitar and sat around her kitchen table, which always is a good place to kind of air out some songs, cook them up. And I was like, suddenly realized I was nervous. But, you know, it made me set a bar a certain way, knowing I'm going to bring a song in to Lucinda Williams, not just my friend Lucinda. Like, it made me think about every word, every note. And that was helpful. Plus, I'd call her the lyric doctor. Sometimes I write 6 or 7 verses. So we'd sit in the kitchen of the studio or her house, and she'd be like, no, these are the 3. And they say, you know, it's all about the details. You know, God is in the details. And so she would make little changes, you know, had some line in the next song we're going to play about like a lonely, closed down city on a Sunday and all the stores are closed, I wrote. And she said, no, all the liquor stores are closed. You know? But also, you know, we track to tape still. We're into that warm analog. And on a reel of tape, you can only fit about 3 takes. So the band would be cooking away in the tracking room. She's in the control room with Tom, her husband, and they're in there. And we come running in to see if we nailed the song. And if she was moving her hips and dancing and shaking, we kind of knew we had the take. And that turned out to be a good meter for the project.
I love the idea that you do it to tape still and that you really are limited by that. So you can't just keep doing iteration after iteration after iteration.
Yeah, it makes it, you have to
commit. Make choices. Yeah.
But then the upside is there's a warmth to tape, at least for rock music, that with drums and guitars and the vocal, that something about that 2-inch tape kind of just gives that extra stuff. Or at least that's what we grew up with and are familiar with. And I've done records straight to digital. And then we have, you know, later on you go into Pro Tools and you have those options to go crazy. But, yeah, we started the record in L.A. at a studio called Dave's Room in North Hollywood that Lucinda had worked with this guy for a long time. And he had also did Bob Dylan and he did Tom Petty, Wildflowers. But the guy, David Bianco, had also did my first record on EMI, Degeneration, my first punk band, rock and roll band. And so it was a full circle to connect with him. And he passed away.
I was going to say, isn't he one of the people you
lost?
Yeah,
he passed away in the middle of making the record. But we started out to test it around Christmas time. And Lucinda and I both get sometimes the holiday blues. And we thought, let's just be workaholics. We'll work through the holidays. So we're in L.A., Christmas, no snow. But a lot of fun playing music. And kind of, you know, it's a real different feeling.
So tell me about Room 13. That's the next tune we're going to hear.
Room 13, the next song I'm going to play, is probably one of the earlier ones I wrote for the record. Not the first, but definitely one of the first songs I brought to Lucinda, like I was saying before about, you know, little details and things. And her and her husband contributed a bit. We'd sit there and throw lines back and forth. But for me, when I had the song, it was kind of about those moments, and hopefully everybody gets these, where you're away from the gadgets and away from the phone and the computer and maybe even other people, sometimes on a long journey on a train or an airplane. And in this case, it was in a hotel. I get that, where, you know, you're kind of just out of your comfort zone and forced to reflect and think and really feel what matters most in this life. And it's called Room 13.
Shadows on my wall, in voices in the hall, I'm making up my own scene, hanging out in room 13. I pull down the blackout shade and watch the TV start to fade. Deadbolt on the lock, and I unplug the digital clock. Well, I spent some time in a hotel room thinking about love, and I walked away like those others do. Oh, when it's not enough, the walls are paper thin, in the scene everybody sins. All the liquor stores are closed, and I'm sleeping with the ghost. Well, I spent some time in a hotel room thinking about love, and I walked away like those others do. Oh, well, it's not enough, I just wanna do the right thing, but I get dragged down on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. telephone. She asks me when I'm coming home, and I'm falling somewhere in between what she says and what she means. It was something that was said before the phone went dead, like the sound of the falling rain and the rumble of a train. Well, I spent some time in a hotel room thinking about love, and I walked away like those others do, all when it's not enough. Thinking about love. Thinking about love.
Room 13, Jesse Malin with Derek Cruz in Lake Effect's performance studio. Such a beautiful song.
Oh,
and it, as I'm sitting, I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking about actually a line from the last song on the album. I know you're not going to play it, but in My Little Life, and all that I want is something I'm not.
Yeah.
Is that still true?
Well, with that song, to be honest, I was kind of writing through some other people that I know, some close family friends, well, I don't know. I don't want to give it away too much, but somebody in my family that life is just hard. I don't know. I'm sure everybody knows somebody where just going out the door and just doing, you know, basic things that some people find so easy are such a struggle, and they might seem quiet and shy, and it comes off as that they're antisocial or nasty, and so it's just those people that carry that kind of burden and every single day having to battle that. So
it's tough stuff.
But I mean, I can't. That song is about somebody I know, and I sing it from my from my perspective. I can't really write a song unless I can find some part of me in that thing, and there's definitely that, you know. So I think I've felt those feelings and stood there and been like, you know what, this is not working, and I don't know what I'm going to do, where I fit in this whole world, you know.
Oh, the existential angst, absolutely. You know, yeah. I mean, it really is. And I think we all suffer from that at some point. I don't think you're really kind of engaged in the world if you're not.
Yeah.
If you don't. It's
well, you
finding
get it.
Your way
it's
back
nice
from
it. It's nice chatting
it.
With you because, you know, every day we try to keep positive. I always say that something I got from this hardcore band, the Bad Brains, PMA, positive mental attitude. And just walking in with you and meeting you, I could tell you have that energy and that thing. So we're taping this early and you're just giving us this this positive light. So it's nice to see that. I feel you think that way too.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I think it's one of the reasons your music resonates for me so much, because it's like, oh, there's a kindred spirit. I know him at least a little bit. You know, there's right. There's something in there that I recognize. And the other thing I want to say about this album is that what I love about it is you've managed to incorporate kind of all of your musical journey in there. So I hear punk. Yeah. I hear, you know, the hardcore rock and roll. I hear a lot of, and the Americana stuff, all of it kind of finding interesting different places to surface and then come back in. And I love that mix. Was that
well,
you,
it's interesting.
Lucinda?
You say that. I mean, there's certain songs that people like. There's a song I wrote with Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day,
which is fabulous.
that Tom Overby, Lucinda's husband, one of the producers, felt that it had to be on the record. And it was originally written for a side project that I do with the guys from Green Day called Rodeo Queens. And it was going to be the next single. But and that's how we did it, me and Billy. And then at the last minute, I had to call him up and say, they want to put this on this record. Are you okay with it? And he was totally cool. But, you know, years ago when I came out of bands like Degeneration and Heart Attack, my teenage and bands in my 20s, and then I went solo, it was like very extremist and militant. You know, it was the early 2000s, and I just played acoustic and kind of stuck to the whatever label, songwriter, Americana, you know, guidelines of the box I was in. But over the years, I've found a way to be comfortable in who I've been, all the records I like, and put it into one record or one show. When we play live, to me, it doesn't feel like, oh, now we're doing this. Like, it all feels like me, and I feel comfortable in that. Found a way to weave it in together that seems to work, and this record, I think, is that way. Because my favorite records have always had the quiet, sad songs and then the loud, crazy ones, and, you know, whether it be even those classic rock, you know, records, they always had the ballads that my father liked.
I mean, the Strangers and Thieves that you're talking about, that one I was hearing just the way the band was working and everything. It was like there was Tom Petty in there. There was like an homage to that. You could hear that kind of, it's like the great American rock and roll, like we're on the road and we're doing this. And the song made me really happy.
Oh,
you know, it was just like, God, I just want to play this over and over. And I want to put it in my car, and I just want to play that one over and over again.
That was the first thing that came out, I think, the first they start to play it on satellite radio, and it was like, wow, well, all right, let's see. This one's pretty rocking, but it got a good response, and it's fun to play that one live, too.
I bet it is. You know? I bet it is. You know, I just want to thank you guys. I know you're getting ready to get on a plane to go off to the next thing, but I want to thank you so much for stopping in.
Oh, thanks for having us.
And playing some music for us, and I hope you'll come back and, you know, bring some more of the band. We can fit some more people in here. It'd be great to do that. But what are we going to hear going out? What's the last tune?
We're going to hear a song called Shining Down. It's off of our Sunset Kids record, and it's one of the first songs I wrote. I wrote this when I was visiting my dad down in South Florida in a little motel, and it's kind of one of those ones that's pretty autobiographical, I guess.
We never got a break. We live with our mistakes. Just icing on the cake and some cold heartbreak. Sentimental kids with movies in our heads.
Singer-songwriter Jesse Malin, along with his guitarist Derek Cruz, performing Shining Down from his newest album, Sunset Kids. Malin and Cruz stopped by the Lake Effect studio last month after playing a gig at Shank Hall to talk with Bonnie North. You can hear all three songs they played for us at WUWM.com.
We always were to blame. They changed the family name. Another sad refrain, but I won't look back. I found another path through the broken glass. Everything was trash, but it all worked out. Keep on shining on my life. Shining down my life. Keep on shining down me. I act like nothing hurts. The bar becomes a church, a limousine, a hearse, and you don't look back. The one that couldn't fail, married or in jail, had moments of success in the shadow of the best. Keep on shining down on my life. Keep on shining on my life. Keep on shining on my life.